I want to talk to you tonight about the fact that the goal of prayer is the ear of God. And I read that little statement in a sermon that Charles Spurgeon preached. In fact, the sermon was really not about prayer, but in the sermon that I was reading, he made that little statement about prayer, that the goal of prayer, when I read that, I thought, now what would be the, what's he going to say the goal of prayer is? He said, the goal of prayer is the ear of God. And when I read that, it just kind of grabbed me, and I took my Bible, the one I had, and I've written it in this one as well, and I wrote that in my Bible. And perhaps you might like to do the same. There it is on the screen if you would like to jot it down. The goal of prayer is the ear of God. So when we pray, what are we wanting to do? We're wanting to get God's ear, and we know we have God's ear because the Bible says God hears our prayers. Now, with those words in our mind, in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 15, some very, very interesting verses. So I want you to take your Bible and follow along as we journey along. In Genesis chapter 15, it's very, very interesting. God promised Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars. In fact, if you look in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now, you know, God changed his name to Abraham over in chapter 17, but I'm going to say Abraham as I read. We're talking about the same person. So the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Now, the custom in that day was if you did not have a child to be the heir, then the oldest of your servants could, by that culture, become the heir. And so that's what he's talking about. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, now look in verse 4. This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then God brought Abraham outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. So what did God do? He promised Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the heaven. Well, that was the promise. Now, let's fast forward 10 years. 10 years go by, and Abraham and Sarah have no child born. At that point, she's barren. And yet God made this promise. And then if you look in chapter number 16, I'm going to call it the Hagar-Ishmael fiasco. That's really a good title for Genesis chapter 16. Fiasco means a total, absolute, complete failure. Have you ever done a fiasco? Well, we all have. Well, the fiasco of all fiascos is in Genesis chapter 16. 10 years go by, no child, and so what happens? Well, Sarah comes up with this plan that actually, when we read it, it seems like, well, this isn't the way to go, and it's not. But in the culture of this day, this is what would happen. So she comes up with this plan, and of course it results in this son, Ishmael. And then if you turn on over in Genesis chapter 21, we find a very interesting thing. Isaac, Abraham, now 100 years old, in Genesis chapter 21, I want you to look in verse number 5 with me. It says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now we know the story. The Sunday night group knows the story. God makes a promise to Abraham that your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. At the end of 10 years, he has no star. And then at the end of 25 years from the time of that promise, He doesn't have stars, he has a star. And that star is Isaac. So now he has this son by his own body and through Sarah, his wife. Well, that's a very, very interesting thing. But now here's the problem. Isaac stays single for a long time. In fact, he's not married until he's 40 years of age. And so here the years go by. God told Abraham, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. 25 years elapse. He has one star, and that star doesn't have any little stars, and things are looking bad. Well, what happens? It's a very interesting thing. Turn over in chapter 24. Over in chapter 24, Abraham takes his elder servant and says to him, I want you to go and find a wife for my son Isaac. In fact, it's a very, very interesting thing. In chapter 24, the Bible says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. This would, in our day and time, it'd be like a man's handshake. You know, it used to say, you know, a man's handshake was his bond. A man's word is his bond. Well, this was just the custom of the day. And he said, Abraham said to him, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. So he says to this servant, I want you to go back to my homeland, find a wife for our son Isaac. Well, of course, the story goes on, but down in verse number 10, let's pick up there. It says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when the women would go out to draw water. Now, in verse number 12, this is what I want to look at tonight. This servant prays a prayer. It's a very interesting prayer. The servant said, O Lord God, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, God, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. He says, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one, God, you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Well, that's a very, very interesting prayer. You know, in a way, I'm not going to dwell on that. You read that prayer, it's almost like he threw out a fleece. Now, I'm not questioning the sincerity of his heart, but yet I think what would keep that from being a fleece is he presented to God in his prayer something that didn't make him automatically be a winner. You know, a problem with throwing out a fleece. I was listening to a sermon last week on the radio by Dr. Stanley was preaching, and somewhere in the course of that sermon, he talked about throwing out a fleece. If any of you ever thrown out a fleece, you know, God, if you'll do this, then this, or if you'll do this, then that. Well, the problem with throwing out a fleece is when we do it, we fix it so we can't lose. We come up with some idea. If you think through the times you've thrown out a fleece, God, if you want this to happen, then da 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 da. Normally, when we do that, what we give God means we can never lose. And the illustration Dr. Stanley gave, I thought was a very good illustration. He said if he had a lot of money in his hand and just threw the money up in the air and said, God, now all the money that comes back and lands on the ground is mine. He said there's no way to lose in that deal. Well, now what keeps this from being like this? for all the things to happen that this servant has asked God to let happen was not in his control. He didn't set himself up to be an automatic winner at all. But it's a very, very interesting prayer. But now here's what I want you to see after he prayed the prayer. And you know the story. What he prayed, that exact thing happened. But then here comes what I want us to focus on in our little time here tonight. I want you to see what the servant did after he had prayed the prayer and the prayer had been answered. And then as we look at these things, we'll make a very quick application. The very first thing did, he had patience after he had prayed. He had patience after he had prayed. Now, look down with me in chapter 24. Look down in verse number 21. Now, he's prayed the prayer. And here's what the verse says in verse 21. It says, "And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." So he prays the prayer. And here this woman comes, and she does the very things that he's prayed. But what does he do? He's patient, waiting to see if this is what God is really doing. So he had patience after he prayed. Now, if you look in verse number 26, it's another very interesting thing. He worshiped God after the answered prayer. In verse 26, the Bible says, "Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." So he prayed the prayer. He had patience after he had prayed the prayer. And then he worshiped after the prayer has been answered. And then look in verse 27, a very interesting thing. He acknowledged God's guidance in verse 27. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." You know, a good example in the Bible, we're in the neighborhood, turn over in Exodus chapter number 15. It's a very interesting chapter. In chapter 14 is where God led his children through the cross in the Red Sea. But in Exodus chapter 15, if you turn with that, after the children of God had gone through the Red Sea as on dry ground, and the Egyptians had pursued, and the water all came back over, and it drowned all them. In chapter 15, we have what we know as the Song of Moses. Moses had led them through the Red Sea. Now they're on the other side. Everything's good. But I want you to look real quick in chapter 15, Exodus chapter 15. It says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord." Have you ever thought about that? You know, we don't think much about it. When we sing to the Lord. It's what they did. And what they sang was that, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Now, if you just, in your little space you have in the bulletin tonight, as I look at these three things that I've mentioned, shown you in the Bible, how this servant had patience after he had prayed, he worshiped God after answered prayer, and then he acknowledged God's guidance. I began to reflect as I thought about that in my praying, and I want you to reflect in your praying. And one of the things I felt the Spirit of God spoke to my own heart about, I pray prayers every day. I would think you pray prayers every day. Sometimes our prayers to us may seem rather routine. Sometimes we're praying about major things. But be that as it may, I felt like, you know, here's an area I'm not A-plus in this area. My patience after I pray. You know, everything is just so instant. Like we pray about things, and think about Abraham. 25 years he waits for Isaac. Well, you know, in my life, in your life, I just, this is an area I need to grow. And I would say most all of us need to grow. Once we've prayed our prayers, have patience to wait on God, to believe God, to trust God, until God gives whatever answer God's going to give. And then I thought about this servant. You know, after he had prayed the prayer and the prayer was answered, he worshiped God. And this morning, I think it was in the second service, I asked the question, how many today in the second service has God done something special this past week? We had just sung that little song, God is So Good. I love that little song. I said, how many of you today here this past week has God done something very special? And in the 11 o'clock service, I would dare say 2/3 of the congregation raised their hand. And what brought that to my mind, between the services this morning, between 9:30 and 11, several individuals came to me. And then before the 11 o'clock service, I was kind of milling around. And it just seemed like an unusual number of people said to me this morning, Pastor, this week, my report came back good. Pastor, this week, and there was something else, and something else, and something else. I thought, this is kind of unusual. I'm hearing more feedback on what God's done to answered prayer. Some said to me, I know you prayed for us this week. You called us and prayed with us on the phone, and here's how it's all worked out. And they just were acknowledging, and they were worshiping God as they were sharing what God has done. Now, I can just speak for me. This is an area I need to grow. I need to grow in worshiping God, bowing before God, thanking God at a better level for answered prayer, and then acknowledged God's guidance. Boy, I thought, man, like I'm striking out. I've got this. I'm just reading this in my Bible on my way to what I want to do on Sunday nights as we look at the life of Jacob. Learn some great lessons from him. But just in preparation for that, I'm reading these scripture verses. And I'm thinking, oh my gracious, God guides in this way and God guides in that way. And we need to acknowledge God's guidance. Because it honors the Lord. It's the right thing to do. And just think about your life, how God's guided this way, God's guided that way. I know our relationship with God's, in one way, it's kind of a private thing. We don't just go around telling all the things that in our private life that God's guided here and yonder. But there's some things that we need to acknowledge to others. And then as a church, we need to acknowledge God's guidance. And boy, you look back on how God has guided this place. And this past week, and I showed the little picture this morning. Next Sunday, we'll have a little video. It's going to show the before and the after. But and then today, oh, listen, today, and somewhere I've got to get this picture before. On my way home today, I get a text message from Julio from Guadalajara, Mexico. And he sent a picture, and he said, the building today filled to capacity. Man, I tell you what, I just thought, wow. Now, see, God guided Julio from his church in Arkansas, where he was in a very comfortable situation, to go to Guadalajara, Mexico, which is a very difficult situation, and begin a church that did not exist. And now they're working on, in this calendar year, starting the second location of that church, which the ultimate plan is in 5 places. And so, but today, the building just filled. And like God has let us be a small partner in that. But I just thought, you know, we need to acknowledge God's guidance. I don't think Julio just thought up one day, I believe I'll go down to Guadalajara and start a church. God guided him there. And then when we had him to come and sing and lead in a worship the first time he came, I just felt like God guiding me to, hey, you need to talk to this guy and learn about what's going on. And we just start going down that line so many ways. So I'm saying to you tonight, maybe the sermon's just for me. I need to grow in my patience after I pray and ask God for things. I need to worship God better and bow before God more when he answers prayers I've prayed. And then I need to acknowledge God's guidance in ways God guides me in my life. And I'm not alone in the building. I pray the Holy Spirit tonight would take maybe one of these, maybe two, maybe all three. And in your life, you likewise say, you know what? I need to do the very same thing. Now, in a moment, we're going to have our prayer time. We have not as many, but we do have some prayer cards to pick up tonight. There'll be ministers over here. Some of you tonight, maybe God's guiding you to be saved. Maybe God's guiding you to come for your baptism. Maybe God's guiding you to come put your life in the church. Maybe God's guiding you to come pray with one of the ministers. Or maybe God's guiding you to come here to pray. Maybe God's guiding you to pray where you're going to be. Maybe God will guide you to pray seated. Maybe God will guide you to pray standing up. Maybe sing a while, praise a while, pray a while, however. But I want you to stand with me now. I want to have a prayer. And then Lisa's going to come, and we're going to sing. We'll pick these up. You have decisions. However God guides you, I pray you will respond. Father God, I bless you and thank you for prayer. And God, all of us believe in prayer. That's not the purpose of the message. And yet, God, I'm not sure any of us understand that our greatest work well may be our work in prayer. God, prayer is work. Prayer takes time. Prayer takes energy. Prayer, it's not something, if we're serious, that's just like saying a little blessing before a meal. That, God, we must do. But Lord, prayer is when we plead with you, pour out our soul to you, when we get your ear. And so I pray, God, that yes, we'll pray. But God, my prayer is after we've prayed, may we have patience as we wait. May we, God, always worship you when we have answered prayer. And then, God, acknowledge your guidance. So guide us tonight at this time is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.